this is probably going to be out of left field too. My thing I'm looking forward to the most is actually the naval combat. So
that is out of left field, yeah.
A little
never took
bit
you for a pirate.
let me see if I can share.
You better start believing in ghost stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Zone of Influence podcast brought to you by Bad Kid's Dad. I am Scott, he is Tom, and tonight we're going to be discussing PvP and Ashes of Creation. To tackle this juicy steak of a topic, we're welcoming newcomer to the podcast, but also a longtime gamer friend of mine, whom I also met in the world of Warcraft. A fellow content creator that goes by the handle The Governator, James the Giant. We're happy to have you join us, man. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, James. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So, guys, like Scott mentioned, we're going to tackle the topic of PvP tonight. And as you guys know who have been following the podcast, there's a lot to this game. And PvP is kind of central to everything that you do in Ashes of Creation. And I'm really excited about that. But I guess we'll just throw it to you, James, since you're joining us tonight. What's kind of your background with not just PvP games, but, you know, we're big MMO fans here. So what's kind of your gaming roots and, you know, how did you come about getting into PvP in games?
All right. So my background is kind of like a jack of all trades. So I grew up playing sports in real life. And then I also started playing video games, kind of going hand in hand. Did a lot of building my own computers. Like Warcraft 3 is where it really kicked in, where I upgraded my video card to 64 megabytes.
That's right.
And so,
man, it can only get so hot in here.
Don't age yourself so fast.
I know.
Yeah, watch out, guys. So, you know, me, it's a little uncommon. I'm 6'8". So, I'm not a big fan of watching sports, but I love playing it. And so I started playing like Tekken and like Super Street Fighter and everything. And my dad would buy the game and not let me play. So I would read the instruction guide front to back. And as soon as he let me play, I'd go in there and have every single move memorized and just, and just beat the crap out of him. And it always pissed him off. And that kind of catapulted forward to when I was about 15. I started playing EverQuest 1, really dating ourselves there, right after Ultima Online. Another MMO that I started playing was Magestorm Online. This thing was an AOL game, $2 an hour. I charged hundreds of dollars to my parents' account unknowingly to them. Crap kicked out of me several times. But the game was worth it. It was an FPS, like mythic, like MMO, but it was only player versus player. There was nothing else to it. So nice. That kind of started me in that PvP realm and like just the unpredictableness of PvP. And then obviously, you know, spring forward a couple more years when graphics increase, you know, Halo 1, 2, 3. 3, my all-time favorite.
Yes, sir.
Just the PvP, the ranking system, everything was just perfect about that game. And then, you know, that led me into MMOs. So World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, you name it, I've probably played it. So kind of my background.
Oh, nice, yeah. Man. Every time I see James on Discord, I see like a different game up there that I know he's going ham. He's kind of like you, Tom.
Do you give him crap for switching games like me all the time?
All the time.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's like 1 week he goes hard. Next week he's going hard on something else. He's like,
there's
you.
There's too many good games out there, man. You need the shooter itch, then you need the arena PvP. You know, you got to keep it fresh. Yeah. So I'll go ahead because my background's actually really similar to yours. I grew up playing sports, played in college. So like,
except you're a foot shorter.
Well, okay. Junior college, you know, wasn't 6'8", you know, didn't have any scouts coming. So, but you know, just from that sports background, like you, the competitive nature of PvP just made sense to me, right? I liked it more. It was always unpredictable, like you said. You just want to see if you were better than the other guy. And so it just made sense. And I kind of started, you know, just sports. It was natural. I started playing Madden, you know, like FIFA, that kind of stuff, and playing online. Then Halo 3, like you said, it was the ultimate, right? The ranking system, climbing, forming, you know, groups to play with. And so, man, yeah, I went hard on Halo basically through my college years. So missed a lot of class, a lot of sleepless nights, basically. playing Halo, but you know, I got into the MMO space really late, so I was like an Xbox gamer up until when Star Wars Old Republic came out. I was just a Star Wars fan, and I was like, what is this game? Like, I can use a double-bladed lightsaber? What is this? I'm playing this. And so, you know, I got the gaming PC and went from there. And, you know, the only thing that really, I don't know, I noticed this really early on in MMOs, at least the theme park MMOs, right? Like WoW and Star Wars, is really PvPers are like second-class citizens, right? I wanted to get in and just PvP, right? And level my character through PvP. And I've quickly realized, like, you just can't do that. They don't build the game that way. And that frustrated me a lot with a lot of the early MMOs I played. But I still love the PvP, obviously, in those games. Played with Scott on Star Wars for a lot of years. Just PvP every night, all night. Of course, he would drag me into WoW in an expansion, and we'd play a few months of Arena before, you know, calling it quits. But man, that's definitely my story. Very similar. What about you, Scott? Where did you get started with PvP?
Oh man, when I think PvP, you guys kind of relate it to sports, and I played sports too, but for some reason, I don't feel like it's the same competitiveness that I felt when I was in sports. It was kind of different. Like, to me, gaming's always been it's been like another realm, a projection of myself in another realm. And so that's kind of how I've always viewed it. When I think back to earliest, I think I got to go to James. I got to go with Street Fighter for sure. That's probably one of the big, big games we grew up with for sure. I'd throw Mario Kart in there. You remember just the duels in the arenas? Like that was some good times. And of course, my favorite, GoldenEye. I cannot tell you how many hours that I put into GoldenEye with friends into the wee hours of the night. So it's kind of like we got like Tom as Odd Job here. We got you as Jaws, and you can play the whole remote mind game. Oh, yeah. Golden Gun. But anyways, that when I think early PvP, that's what I think about. Just the GoldenEye playing against your buddies. And that was kind of the start of competitive ish gaming to me. So after that, I got into I kind of took some time in my early teenage years from games. I just played Resident Evil, stuff like that. No massive co-op games. But, of course, World of Warcraft, the one that seemed to have gotten us all at one point or another. And before that, SWG. I talk about that a lot here and kind of a lot of the comparisons that we're drawing from Ashes and SWG. So, and then Star Wars 2, again. For me and Tom played many, many hours of that. But I would say the thing that's got me most hyped about this game still is how similar it is to Star Wars Galaxies. I feel like there might be a chance for me to, I don't know, finally quench that nostalgic desire we all have for an MMO, that first feeling that it gave us. So if it can kind of spark those in me again, I'm pretty pumped. Right, that's all I can say about that.
I think we're all chasing that feeling, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
From early MMO days.
The white dragon, chasing the white dragon. Yeah. You're always going for that. Man, for me, what was it? I think it was, I mean, obviously SWG gave it to me that big time. But if I had to pick, like, Warcraft, I think it was the first time I made a Night Elf in Darnassus.
Night Elf, and, Oha!
Yes.
Doing your little flip jumps everywhere.
The little music that just kind of come in, all the little noobs running around. There's something magical about that. And, man, I think deep down we all want that feeling again.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 100%. Well, before we get rolling too hard on Ashes real quick, what are you playing at the moment, James? Like, what's getting that PvP itch scratch for you?
Still playing some Destiny 2. One, I just can't get rid of it. Been playing it for the last year or two since they started Beyond Light campaign. It's just been incredible. And then you know, I'm giving New World another chance. Just kind of playing around with it, and I had a lot of hope for that game. I know it's I had a lot of hope for that game, but I mean, I go back to it, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. They just came out with the new system for looking for group and stuff, kind of making things a little bit better. They made a lot of upgrades to the game, but it's just one of those games where I wanted it to work so bad that I'm just giving it another shot.
Gotcha. Scott, what about you lately? Have you kept up with PvP? I know you're in and out of games these days, like all of us dads.
I've been on a dry spell with gaming. I really haven't been playing much of anything. Only thing I have is a little bit of Overwatch with Mikey and Spot when they're on, but anything else, I just been really busy. Haven't had the time, still healing from a leg injury, trying to kind of get back in shape and working more, and it's been tough, but yeah. I miss it right now. That's the kind of phase I'm in. I'm missing gaming.
Yeah. I've been recently, so Guild Wars just launched on Steam, even though the game's been out 10 years. And so I've kind of gotten back into that. They have some cool achievements and stuff related to the 10-year anniversary. And I really love the PvP in that game because even though it's an MMO, at level 2, you can enter the PvP lobby and it boost you to max level. So you can start doing ranked PvP basically right away. And that's kind of a cool feature I haven't seen in a lot of MMOs. And plus in Guild Wars, there's no vertical progression. So once you get your gear, it's max forever. The level cap never raises. So you can take breaks, come back, start playing right away, right where you left off. So I've been kind of keeping up with that. And I think the Ashes combat system might borrow a little bit from Guild Wars, so I'm kind of excited about that, just the action tab hybrid. I'll just give a real quick overview of kind of the PvP system before we jump into some of our things we're really looking forward to in the game. So kind of like I said before in the intro, the staple of the game is open world PvP, right? PvP is a part of everything. If you want to get resources, if you want to kill world bosses, if you want to move your goods that you've crafted to an auction house, I mean, there's going to be PvP along the way in every step. And so obviously you'll have your standard open world PvP, right? I'm out gathering lumber or nodes, I can get attacked, right? And I don't know, I love those games. I was a huge Arc Age player. I love the open world PvP in Arc Age. And so that's going to be a staple of the game. The other big one that seems to be, I don't know if it's specific to their game, maybe a few other games have had a system like it, but it's the caravans. So all the way along the process of crafting or gathering, you're going to need caravans to move goods from one place to another. Kind of like they go back to that old Star Wars Galaxies where auction houses are kind of localized to cities or shops or player shops. So you're going to have to move goods in a lot of places. And they've kind of set it up where it seems like if you're in a desert biome, it's kind of far away from, you know, the Riverlands biome or a biome with trees. So if someone wants lumber in that area, you got to get it there somehow. And so you can't just mail it, basically. Yeah. And so that's going to...
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. I don't want to cut you off. But on the caravans, what I like about them is, at least in any game that I've played, there has been no method of getting like resources by taking it from other players. It's always been a gathering or like a crafting table that takes a certain amount of time to actually get those resources. But to be able to like actually steal those from other players, that's pretty new. Like, for instance, most resources have been, they're usually gotten from the world by either like looting them from mobs or plants, mining, cutting down trees, whatever. But once you had the resources, you really didn't have to worry about losing them. So now not only can you fight for the mobs that have those resources and you can PvP for them fighting over the mobs, but now you can also take it from the players who looted it from the mods in the first place. So it's like, it's just a new and improved way to integrate PvP and PvE elements together to kind of like just bring a new dynamic that I personally haven't seen in any of these types of games.
Yeah, we've seen like full loot PvP games in the past, right? Like you'll drop your gear or weapons or something like that. But you're right, the dropping resources is kind of a new spin on it. And I think that is going to promote PvP in the open world like a ton, because all the best things in this game are crafted, right? And so there's going to be a lot of players who don't want to craft. They want to go kill you and take the stuff you've crafted or the materials you've processed, right? And skip a step, basically. And so
it's kind of a cool way of bringing the non-PvPers and the PvPers together in a way that you just would never naturally occur. Like Rob, for example, that we had on the podcast, he's not a PvPer. He just wants to build and craft and still be in that MMO world without having to do some of those things. But normally, nobody would ever see him. Like, we would get the stuff, we'd bring it back, he'd be in his house crafting, that's that. But now if he wants to move these materials, he has to put himself in harm's way. That's going to require somebody like us to come in.
Or he's going to put us in harm's way, right, to go do the stuff.
Which is fine. That's what we want, right?
I mean, of course. Yep. And so the caravan system, I'll just kind of to finish off that, is kind of unique because whenever a caravan is spawned at a location to go somewhere else, when you enter the area around the caravan, it's going to give you an option to either flag up as a defender, an attacker, or you can choose to do nothing, of course. The cool thing about it is, which I think we'll get into this in a little bit too, the flagging system that changes your states, like combatant, non-combatant, all those things, that's not related to caravans. So you can PvP within a caravan system without worrying about changing your status as a flagged player. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. The only other game I've played that kind of has that system is Arc Age. You could create these trade packs and then move them from one part of the world to the other. The farther away you move them, the more basically, you know, money you got for those, more gold. And so I think this could be a similar system. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, that's the caravans. The next one they're going to have, that this might be the one I'm most excited about. I'm not sure yet. Maybe the naval PvP too, but it's the Guild Wars system. So the reason why I like this, kind of Scott, what you mentioned, is it's a system where you can declare war against another guild, and there's going to be win conditions to this matchup that you've done. You won't change in your combatant state or get corruption if you fight other people in that guild, but there's also going to be PvE objectives built in to the system that can give you these win conditions. So not just PvP, PvPers will probably have a big role to play in the system. But I think people like Rob or crafters are also going to have a role to play, or maybe people who want to do dungeons or certain PvE. And so I see this as another system that's going to bring all the players together kind of within a guild.
What I like about that, what you just said, is this is one of the elements that has really got me kind of hyped about this game. And that's that it's attempting to bridge the gap between all aspects of the game by one way or another. And this is just one of them. This is bringing crafters, PvEers into the fold that also needs PvPers. Like, everybody seems to be able to contribute to whatever's going on in the game, what they're trying to accomplish by doing the role they want to do. And we all have a way of contributing by just doing what we love, and it benefiting everybody who's also doing the element that they love. So it's kind of this weird bridging to all sections of the game. And it seems like it's going to be, number one, daunting, I think. It seems like it's very difficult to do as a developer, but at the same time, it's got everybody hyped that enjoys certain aspects of the game.
Now, James, are you a fan of open world PvP? Have you played a lot of games that have an emphasis on that necessarily?
Yeah. It just reminds me back to like Hillsbrad, you know, and WoW. Like just that constant going back and forth. Now imagine in that you have this type of Overwatch mechanism, like the caravan, where that would be in the middle. You have to escort this thing along. And like, or even Chivalry 2 has that type of feature in it now, where talk about all PvP and going crazy and having these people around a cart. It's like easy to pick off targets, but they have to be near it. So I think it'll be cool to see the formations and things that people will come up with But yeah, it just really reminds me of WoW on that Hills Brad, just going back and forth graveyard to graveyard, and then adding objectives in there to make it just more exciting. So it's like they're taking, you know, obviously what's old and nostalgic and bringing that new twist to it.
That's actually a great point, because don't get me wrong, like catching somebody, you know, when you're on your rogue out in the middle of nowhere and just getting that gank in, you know, that's fun for a little bit. But when you add objectives to the open world that create a natural PvP, you know, whether it's buffs or these caravans or, you know, like the buffs in Classic WoW, whatever, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think that's great game design, you know, for a PvP game. And so I think Ashes are hitting a lot of these. Let me just run through the rest of these.
WoW tried to do that, by the way. Like, they tried to kind of make... I remember in... was it Hellfire Peninsula? There was one area that you could kind of, but it never
powers.
Yeah, it never took off though, and I guess it's because it wasn't fleshed out enough. It didn't feel like there was any good enough reason to do that. And it's funny that all the best PvP remained, like the open world Hillsbrad is the first thing, Elwynn Forest ganking there. So it's funny, and this seems like a way to finally make something meaningful also feel organic.
Yeah, I even remember in like Legion when they tried to do the PvP world quests or whatever, you know what I mean? I was like, it's not that cool, you know, kind of a deal. But so yeah, I'll just run down the list and we'll just get into it, because no one wants to hear me teach you about a game I don't know much about. So Castle Sieges, right? We have Castle Sieges. The big 500v500 is what they're going for. And castles are going to be owned by guilds. So this is kind of the incentive for guilds. There's only 5 castles in the world, so they're going to be highly contested. And I think every 3 weeks there's going to be basically a siege on the castles. And so the one cool thing about this one that I saw is that you don't have to be a member of that guild. You can ally to help defend or attack, basically, whoever the current guild is, which is cool. They're going to have arenas, of course. I think they've mentioned 1v1, 3v3, and maybe a larger one, but I'm not 100% sure if that one's confirmed.
5v5 and 20.
Okay.
That's coming up.
Yeah. I think the 20 is not confirmed, but that would be cool if they had a system like that. I think there'll be enough open world, large scale, of course. So I don't know. I'm actually interested to see how popular Arena is going to be with all the open world PvP. Like, if they're going to normalize it, if gear is going to matter. I think those are some big questions to see how that does. Of course, it's going to have some PvP seasons they've talked about, leaderboards, like a lot of cool, you know, in Star Wars or WoW, a lot of times the thing that deters me, not always, I mean, I just like to PvP for the sake of it, but PvP rewards aren't always very cool. And so it seems like they're trying to go the extra mile to incentivize, you know, different types of PvP, which is cool. All right. And the last one that I kind of wanted to mention was the node sieges. And out of everything, I think this is probably the most important, because this is going to be how the world changes, right? If you want your node to advance to a city or to other things, then you're going to have to go siege another node, you know, adjacent to you or in your zone of influence. And so I think these are going to be the big ones, and they're going to happen a lot. And the thing that's cool about node sieges is usually they're like not necessarily city to city or node to node, but more players than just a guild are going to be invested, whether this node falls or sticks around, right? And so I think that's going to bring the community, a larger community, together to, you know, determine if these node sieges are successful. So that's kind of like the down and dirty, just a really brief, you know, overview of what's included in the game. I think there's probably even way more that I'm not getting to. The naval PvP, I didn't bring that up, but I don't know, Scott or James, when you guys look at it, was there something that stuck out to you that you're like, yeah, this is it, this is what I want to do in game, or this seems like it has the most potential?
Go ahead, James, do it.
Of course, yeah, it's going to be super fantastic.
The Governator.
I think what I've seen, obviously, is I'm really interested in open world PvP and this flagging system they have. Obviously, I hope they can perfect it, because Nothing's worse than, you know, getting ganked, obviously, and then you go three or four times, and now you have like a 2 minute wait, and you're the one that's like the victim. You know, we victim blame in these games, and I don't think that's right. You know, I want to get right back in that. So I think it's really important that we get some type of system, and I hope they can really nail it with this flagging system. And I know they have these different tiers and everything, but I'm just really interested to see how that works. So people can get together things and just go take over, you know, nodes, towns, or open world, and just I just want to see it play out and just have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, you're right. It's almost like the blessing and the curse of this game is there's so much to it that you're worried that they're not going to be able to balance everything correctly.
Yeah.
You know, we're not even talking about actual class balance. We're just talking about, hey, how do the nodes work? How much XP does a node need to advance? You know, like these minor things that are going to be so crucial to the world, you know, and all that. So it's a concern. And, you know, like I think we kind of talked a little off camera, Intrepid Studios out of San Diego, they're a brand new studio. So yeah. I think there's going to be some growing pains and some, you know, missteps along the way, but you hope that they can iterate fast enough to kind of, you know, listen to feedback or see where things are going wrong to try to keep the game on track.
And this is like 7 or 8 years in the making, right?
Yeah,
I don't think it's that long. It's probably five or six, around five. I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when the Kickstarter first launched.
I remember the Kickstarter, and I think my boss was talking to me about it because I used to work at Sony Online. And so he was like, hey, you used to work at Sony. My brother's working on this game with Intrepid. And this was like, I want to say 2016, 2015.
That sounds right.
That I started hearing about
it. Really? Okay. So
I think it's been in the process for a while. And it's like the last studio left in San Diego.
That's actually leads me to another question. I guess I didn't even ask you, James. Like, what is your history with Ashes? Are you super familiar with it? Did you just hear about it initially and you're like, you know, just another game that's being created? What was your knowledge level kind of before jumping on the pod of everything Ashes?
For me, I still remember when I initially heard about it, before it was even alpha stage, before it was like right when it was at the Kickstarter, and I was looking at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, can this be what everyone says, the WoW killer? And that's what it was. And so you have all these other MMOs, and everyone's like, no, they're worlds apart, like us. There's more to them that meets the eye. So we're all hoping for this WoW killer game. And I just remember, I'm like, oh, this looks really interesting. And then it kind of just fell off the map for years. And then all of a sudden it starts making a comeback in alpha and everything. I'm like, all right, maybe this is it. We're all waiting for this WoW killer.
Yeah, it was similar. I heard it, I think, pretty early on. You know, I'm checking news sites and stuff for MMOs. I'm a nerd like that. And so I heard about it, but I was like, you know, this game is like years and years away. And I kind of just put it to the side until we kind of, you know, rediscovered it recently. And so, yeah, I'm similar. Okay, that's cool. Scott, what about you? Is there a system or something that, you know, you're looking forward to the most on the PvP side?
Yeah, it's got to be open world for me, too. I wish I could bring something else to the table here. I am curious to see how this 500v500 thing is going to go. That's a tall feat, man. I mean, let's throw it out there. We're talking server stability first and foremost, then frames and class balancing. Like, to me, I get anxiety just even thinking about that. But it is appealing. It's interesting. I want to see where that goes. But open world, going back to those roots of Hillsbrad and just the early days of WoW PvP and even SWG, it was just something magical. What I worry about the most that kind of gets my brain rolling here is just class balance, as you mentioned, that is probably giving me the most hesitation and pessimistic outlook on the game, is wondering where they're going to go with this, because they also haven't said much about class identity. And for me, when we're talking MMO, especially RPG, I'm thinking, okay, class identity is the first thing we all want to go to. That's what D&D was about, was being your class and going through the story and the combat. And and feeling like you were portraying your you through the uniqueness of the class. And so far we haven't heard much, and they're giving us all this stuff on PvP and even PvE, and we're just like, okay, we don't even know what classes we're going to be yet, and how we're even going to start dissecting them and then even go on to balance them. So I feel like going too deep on PvP is almost like putting the cart before the horse here. And yeah, all these things sound great. There's stuff I prefer more, but all of them sound interesting. So yeah, I'm excited. All those kind of call to me, but I really want to see the roots first.
Yeah, it's interesting because me and you PvPing together has pretty much only been arena style PvP to this point. So I didn't know if that would be what you were interested in.
Honestly, that's probably the thing I'm interested in the least is arena PvP, just because of how much other avenues they're teasing us with.
Yeah. So what were like the largest battles you did back in WoW? So like the larger battlegrounds, like Alterac or some of the other
Alterac
stuff?
Alterac numbers wise, that was probably the biggest. Yeah. I remember raids on the capital cities, but that even then you got drop frame rate. It was just kind of, you'd get rolled if you were low level. So the Hillsbrad back and forth was always great. And it was always a push and pull because, you know, it always started with the first person getting ganked and crying about it and then calling out the higher levels. And the higher levels like, no, it's like, and then eventually you just get worn out because you just start fighting a losing battle. So to have that feeling mixed in with something that has an end goal or some type of loot, reward, land, whatever, at the end of that fight makes it even more exciting and worthwhile. Because, I mean, shoot, we'd spend hours in Hillsbrad, right, James? Just hours. And then you'd eventually log out laughing or, like, super pissed, never wanting to play again.
Yeah, I never experienced those days in WoW since I got into it so late. So all I did mainly was arenas, you know, battlegrounds too, obviously.
Yeah.
But for me, I would say this is probably going to be out of left field too. My thing I'm looking forward to the most is actually the naval combat. So
that is out of left field, yeah.
A little
never took
bit.
You for a pirate.
Let me see if I can share.
You better
why.
Start believing in ghost stories.
No, but I was a big ArcheAge player, and I know you get, I don't know if James, have you played ArcheAge? Or did you ever play that?
I played it at its infancy, and it was just like, all right, let's figure out what else is next.
Yep, exactly. So most people did, actually, and moved on quickly. But yeah, I just liked it. There was a lot of factors. Number one is you had to build your own ships, right, in that game. And so there's something satisfying, of course, about the process of just putting in the work to have your ships. And they had different style ships, right? So one of my favorites was like a Clipper. It was like a smaller, faster ship that you could track down larger ships who were like transporting goods and stuff like that. So you'd have a small group of PvPers and you want to go take the goods or resources from other people. So, you know, kind of pirating in the truest sense. And I don't know, it was super awesome, but the water physics were amazing. Just kind of being on the ocean is just like a new style of gameplay that I hadn't really encountered before. And so it was really good. Plus in that game, fishing was really integrated into PvP as well, because the ocean was an open PvP zone basically. And so fishing made you lots of gold, but you had to watch your back the whole time because people were trying to come in and steal your catch. Like, really crazy, cool stuff. And then, of course, in ArcheAge 2, they had a lot of world bosses that were ocean world bosses, like the Kraken and other things. And so this is open world. So you have, your guild has a couple of galleons out there firing cannons, right, to try to take down this world boss. And then you have two other galleons of the enemy faction coming in who don't want you to get that kill because they don't want you to get the resources that drop from that. And so you're PvPing at the same time you're also trying to kill a world boss, right? You have a group of players. Your job is just to kill these other players while we kill the boss. And so it just created like this intricate, you know, back and forth of PvE and PvE mixture. And kind of all the world bosses were like that in Arc Age. And I think, you know, Steven Sharif, the guy who's creating Ashes, was a big Arc Age player. And so I think there's going to be a lot of that influence of, like I said before, 80% of the game is going to be open world. Only 20% is going to be instanced PvE. And so you're going to have to fight other players anytime you want to accomplish most of the PvE stuff. And so the other cool thing, and this is kind of tip of my hand here, but the one of the reasons I think I'll probably go ranged character in this game is because on the naval front, I mean, if you're trying to hit people on ships and other boats, it was just awesome to be an archer or a mage or something like that, where you could reach out, you know, or until you could get close enough to have a boarding party and head over to the other ship and engage, you know, that way. And so I don't know. I think the naval's going to be cool, and they've already said there's going to be naval caravans as well. So caravans that will spawn on the sea to transport goods either from continents or to other islands. And so if you can build a ship that's fast enough or has enough weaponry or whatever, you can go, you know, pirate goods from caravans as well, you know? And so I think that is probably, I don't know, my biggest. Have y'all done any naval combat in other games? I know, what was
Black
it?
Black Flag.
Okay.
That Assassin's one, Creed.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed. Okay.
I never did see it.
And was that one pretty good? I don't think I ever played that one.
It was. It was dated. I mean, geez. Mm. Black Flag came out in 2013, I think. Mate, it was. Yeah, but it was good for what it was, and it was fun. I don't think it's my thing, like yours, but if it was unique enough and our guild needed players to protect it, then yeah, I'd be into it. Why not? It's just something else to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a cool aspect. Maybe even a reason to build up like a coastal node, you know, to kind of have access to that kind of stuff, which is, I think, going to be cool. Did you guys, when you looked at it, we've kind of touched a little bit on it. Did you have any big concerns or red flags that kind of jumped out to you, James? I don't know. Was there any other things that you're like, I don't know if this is going to work?
Yeah, I think the main thing for me is, like I said, the flagging system, I'm interested in that, how they're going to pull it off. But mainly, whenever I play any game, whether it's like an expansion or a new game, I have like this kind of 3-month window. And after that 3 months, if there's nothing new, like let's say for WoW, after the initial season comes out or whatever, I just find myself in the main city on, yeah, I was going to say Ventrilo, holy crap, on Discord.
On Mumble. Wow. TeamSpeak.
You like slip back into 2005 or something?
Jeez. Watch as the old man talks about Ventrilo.
Hey there, mushrooms.
So I'll just be flying around town talking on Discord or some type of chat, and like that's it. I'll log in, do that, and so I see that the seasons are 6 months. Like that's a long time, and I think even with Destiny's seasons, they're doing it about 100 days right now, and I feel like it's perfect. It's right when I get to like the next level, it's already cycling a new one. I'm like, all right, cool. Now there's the next thing I can do. So I think they need to find that balance. 6 months is a long time.
Yeah. What about you, Scott? What do you think about that? Are you worried about their ability to put out content at a fast enough pace to keep us interested?
That's the thing, though. When you have a game like this that's going to function somewhat like SWG did, James, I've never asked you, did you play SWG?
The one game I did not play. I skipped really? That one. Yeah, I played Old Republic, everything else, but I wanted to play the Jedi, and everything sounded so awesome. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. It was special. I have fond memories of it. But my point is that kind of game generates its own content. And given the fact that we see that there are so many areas of content here for crafting, for PvE, for different types of PvP, we don't even know if there's exploration. I hope there is, because they've done a lot of work on these biomes and weather. So to me, exploration could be a huge, huge theme that people would love to explore. that was redundant. Explore, exploration. But yeah, 6 months sounds like a long time. But when there are so many aspects and elements of the game, you're going to have a lot to do for those 6 months. And so you should be able to at least dip your toes in almost every area. So I think that players, the way that they're trying to get players to interact as a whole is going to just be this constant influx of content that the players are generating. Because if we have to move resources, getting the resources, the content, like to DLC, I feel like that's even going, excuse me, a little too far ahead. It seems like the game is dropping with a lot. So really, we're just going to have to kind of wait and see. But I do see your concern, though, James, and then I think that's valid.
Yeah, I think a lot of what, well, I don't know. I just, my current situation is I play a lot of games solo right now, right? Even MMOs, which is a weird thing to say, right? I'm going into Guild Wars and I'm queuing up for ranked PvP solo, right? It's not like I have a big group of people I'm playing with. I don't know, James, what about you? Do you roam with a big crew in Destiny or?
I have no friends.
how did we end up on this podcast?
I find that usually what happens is everyone plays their different games, and I need a game where I can log in, get all the content that I want when I want it, and not have to worry about someone else. Like, all right, are they going to be on an hour? Are they going to be on an hour or two? Yeah. And like, then can we do some content together? If that's the case in the game, like, I usually won't play it. So I need a game that I can get in, get out, and have the content available that doesn't need a group all the time.
Okay.
And you're right, James. And that's what Ashes is kind of gonna do for all of us. We can all do our preferred content, but we can all contribute to a greater goal of the guild, even if we're not on at the same time all the time.
Millennials. It's like, I
know, man.
I want to be a part of it, you know?
I feel like we have to induct you to Bad Cause Dad. You're a better player than both of us, so yeah, I'm not sure you fit the mold yet.
Hey, we almost hit 2K together, okay?
That's true, we did.
We're right there.
Right there.
But you guys are kind of making the point I was leading to, right? I think Ashes, I don't want to say it's as much about what content they put out. I think what's going to make Ashes sticky or not for people is the quality of the group of people you have around you, right? Like the quality of your community that's attached to Ashes. And so, like you're saying, Scott, if we have a wide range of people who like different content, it seems like Ashes is making that okay, it's not a big deal because you need all the different players to progress towards your goal in the game, right? We're PvPers. If we want to protect the caravans that our crafters need to send out, well, they need to craft us better gear. And we need to, for them to craft us better gear, we got to go gather better resources, right? But then to make the next set and guard the next caravan, we're going to need even better gear. So it's, you know, if people are excited to log in, even if they don't all do the same thing, right? If we're not all, you know, Rob's not going to play arenas with us. No, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Kind of a thing. And so I think you guys are right. Obviously, you want new content as well. You know, so I'm hoping that their content cadence is good. Kind of a acceptable thing. But I don't know, Scott, what about you? Was there any red flags that jumped out at you? Or not red flags, but just small concerns, whatever it is.
For me, it's class identity. I know I just said that a little bit ago, but it's so important because
class identity or like class balance? Like, what is your bigger concern?
Identity for sure. Okay. Because that's the crux of an RPG. Like I said, I'm a traditionalist. I like logging, and when I keep going back to WoW. I obviously don't play it anymore, but it had a huge part in my life early on, and making my first character, being that class, learning it in and out, that was something special and unique, and not something that I had really experienced. Even SWG was varied in that you could kind of switch your skills around and almost become any class. Even you could go from like a martial artist to a cantina horn player or something. So when I I'm serious. So when I got to WoW and I was like, oh, I'm a druid. This is my nature build. This is whatever. It felt special. It made me kind of nerdgasm in that world, essentially. So when, like I said, we were seeing these different, like all these classes blending together, and I'm afraid it's going to get murky, and then I'm afraid that that is going to inevitably leak over into PvP, because now they're going to be trying to balance things when we don't even have identity to begin with, and you're just going to end up with this like mushy gray class that kind of has little bits and pieces of everything. And to me, I see just like a nightmare of balancing and identity on the horizon.
So you think everybody's just going to find what's good, and then everyone's going to be that same thing, kind of like this is boring.
It, right? It was like that in SWG. You had to take a defense tree of one class. You had to take the offensive of this class. And then you started getting these weird hybrids. And then all of a sudden, when I wanted to be a bounty hunter, now I was this weird amalgamation of a pistolier, Tarrasque, whatever mix. And it just, I kind of lost that immersion that I was going for. I wanted to be a full bounty hunter. And you couldn't do that. And I'm afraid that that's going to happen, especially when you don't have something that is traditional to begin with, and then you try to throw that into PvP. It's going to be a fuster cluck.
Yeah, I'm assuming, obviously, this is all speculation, because they haven't really revealed a ton about the class kits, you know, or the class identity yet. So obviously, we're hoping that it's good, that we like it. I think in the next few months, when the next live streams, I would say the next 6 months, I think it's going to be real heavy on the class reveals leading up to Alpha 2. Yeah, I do too. And I've kind of mentioned this before. I'll kind of piggyback on that is, again, you always go back to this game is so massive, and there's so many systems, and there's so many things in this game that well, let's go back to WoW again, right? The last couple of expansions, they've had all this borrowed power crap, right? In the whole last three expansions, right? And they've taken the entire expansion to try to balance that system. And so what's happened to
power? Is that like the Azerite stuff?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
You know, or Legion, you know, the weapons, you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
And so they spend the entire expansion trying to dial that in. And so what happens is classes get left behind, right? Yeah. Are left by the wayside and not given the care and iteration that they need, you know, which is really what should be the number one priority, which I think is the hope for a lot of people in Dragonflight, is they're kind of taking a simpler approach. They're not doing borrowed power, and they're bringing back these class trees. And I mean, this is like a whole nother podcast we could do, but you know, your hope is that the classes are going to actually be balanced this time, because they can put their focus there and not balancing at, you know, your Azerite armor or whatever, you know, kind of a thing. And so in my opinion, I would like, probably like you, Scott, if they kept the classes, I don't want to say simple. I think New World, you could probably speak to this more, James. The classes were kind of, I don't want to say if simple is the right word, but how did the classes work balance out in New World?
So I actually like New World because you can kind of change based on whatever weapons you have, and then adjust your stats accordingly. So it's like, all right, I want a rest spec and dump all my stats into dexterity and put all my dexterity gear. And then you can go into, and you have two trees, and let's say like you're an archer slash, you know, with a hatchet. So you can go into those two trees and make them complement each other. But really, like, it's just up to you what you want to do. You'll have a lot more efficiency as an archer if you go strong dex and go down like one of the trees, but then you can be so much more versatile with the weapons and everything. So I think they actually did a really good job on their combat and how they pretty much made you do your class. You have to really think about how you're going to do it to be effective in PvP and PvE, and you can't have like one build for both.
And they just had like a very small amount of abilities, right? I mean, the bar wasn't like huge that you had or whatever.
Yeah, you can only have three abilities at once. There's two trees, and each tree has three abilities in it. So you can choose from six, but you can only choose three, and then you can elaborate on those three abilities like based on the passives.
Okay. And I'm not saying that Ashes needs like three abilities per se, but I like that idea of keeping the class simple and straightforward so that they don't have to spend all their time. If you make the classes easier to balance, then you can focus on, okay, let's put time on getting the economy right, or, you know, gatherables or world bosses or nodes, you know, and so I'm hoping to keep classes fairly simple.
The synergy, you know, that's really important.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I look at like Destiny. You know, they have three abilities, and if you get all these this new fragment system they have, if you synergize right, like you can do anything you ever want in the game for that class. And so I think just like Diablo 2, Diablo 3, it's six skills. If you just learn how to synergize and they have all that passive, that's really important.
Well, we've seen WoW and Star Wars, you know, they've been pruning abilities for the last whoever knows how long, because it's just getting a little out of control, you know, with some of the class kits. But that kind of leads into mine. I think my biggest worry, again, going back to not just ArcheAge, but kind of sandbox MMOs in general, maybe you can speak to this, Scott, a little with SWG, is that in sandbox MMOs, usually it rewards the player who no-lifes the game, right? And to an extent, I get that. You should. If you put more time in, you probably should have more reward in a sandbox game.
Yeah.
So, but generally a theme in most sandbox games is there's not a hard cap on gear. So a lot of times you can like increase your gear if you have, well, some games if you have a big enough bank account or you, you know, have the time to put in, you know, like for ArcheAge, for example, it did turn pay to win towards the end, which was unfortunate, but players swiped enough that their gear was so good, I basically could do no damage or they could one shot me, you know, and I'm like, this is not appealing, right? So my fear is I'm hoping that they keep the gear discrepancy within an acceptable range that even someone who doesn't have the top level or an entry level set or can still participate out in the world, and maybe you're more skilled and you come up with someone better gear in a 1v1, maybe you still have a chance, you know, but obviously you shouldn't be able to 1v2, you know, if you have worse gear or something like that. Go ahead, Scott.
That's interesting, though, because in SWG, you did have to be good at PvP. You had to be good at the system. It was, if I went back to it now, I bet you I would say this combat is awful, but it was awesome then. But the point with gear is that there wasn't really a gear system like that we're familiar with. It was a very rudimentary take on an MMO. And the thing that made the difference were either, I guess when it came to crafting, it was sort of like a crit or the type of material they use. The better material, the better the outcome of the weapon. Or when you would loot, you would get a weapon that had just like a ridiculous stat. There was like three. There was health, stamina, and mind. So I had a weapon, and so did other people, that had like a mind burn that was so strong, it would essentially like two-shot you. So, but the kicker was that these weapons would break eventually. So if you were on top for a couple months, eventually that weapon would break the more you would repair it. I think you repaired it, but eventually it would break. So these guys that had really overpowered weapons or crafted gear would eventually lose them, and they'd kind of fall behind someone else. So it was like a constant race where one person was ahead. So when it comes to crafting, if gear crits and you have a super uber piece, but you can't repair it eventually, then you're OP for a while, but then you go back. So if it's more randomized, I don't know if like eye level is going to be a thing yet, but if you have things that are more randomized, it's going to kind of be a push and pull and ebb and flow. You're not always going to be the most overpowered, and you're going to have to keep playing to try and either get more loot, get more crafted weapons, whatever. And to me, it's like it keeps it fresh. You'll be on top, but you might not be, and you have to play to get back there again. So that's a cool element that I hadn't really considered in a long time from SWG. I forgot about that. So that's one way to do it.
Yeah, you did kind of touch on the crafting system, which they have stated that items will need to be repaired over time, right? Your armor and your weapon. And what they've said is the way you're going to repair those, it's not just a gold cost. You need to put the materials into the item that you use to build it. So if you used high-level materials, you have to go get some of that and put it in. And so I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of upkeep to gear, but let me just paint a scenario. We're defending our caravan, right? And let's say there's five of us and we have you know, low level or mid tier gear for the current meta, but then you have someone comes in who has the very top tier. In Arcage, you would have a scenario where one person could just kill all five of us. I guess that's what my worry is in a sandbox. You know, I want it to be Black Desert. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I only play that for a little bit, but yes, I've heard that. Yeah, for real. Uninstall. And so I just want there to be a range. If it's like 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever that range is, you know, just keep it acceptable. You can't 1v5 someone, right? I'm like, this isn't appealing, because there's going to be guilds who are going to run the server, right, and have all the best gear and stuff. And so you want to make a game that's still enjoyable for the people who are working their way up to participate, you know, in everything going on. So that's probably my biggest concern. Did y'all have anything else that y'all were thinking of?
Yeah. Like I said briefly, Black Desert, one of the best action combat games I've ever played, but everything's based on how much money you spend or luck. And the luck, like, you can lose your gear completely and you're just done with the game. Like, you won't be able to be even able to compete against people. And so, just like you're saying, you'd have one guy that got lucky rolls on his gear and he had tier 5 mm-hmm. everything. He would just stomp anyone else without question, unless they are tier 5 as well. So I don't want there to be that big of a gap between that where it's based on luck. Because, like I said, Black Desert was amazing. Leveling up a character, there's like the funnest I've had in any game is just leveling and seeing the different action combat. But when you got to that PvP area, you quickly found out how crappy your gear was compared to other people that just got it based on luck, or they spent money to guarantee that they won't lose their items.
Ooh, I was the same. Once I got to that point, I was like, I can't do this. But that's true, man. I got good memories. I did so much AFK fishing in that game. It was awesome. But
horse riding.
That's right.
Equestrian.
I don't know. And, you know, going back, I just think there's way more creative ways to do this, right? The gear. Like, you kind of mentioned that the system in Destiny were, what were they called? The shards
fragments. And
fragments.
Shards,
there you go. Yeah. So where you could, like, synergize things. I think you could give crafters, instead of just, like, getting a crit on a piece of gear, like, give them abilities to possibly put different perks on gear, or things that could maybe synergize with this certain rogue build that you've made, you know, and just make gear more interesting than just, oh, this has bigger numbers, so I win. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know. I think there's more creative ways to do it. And then, of course, the other thing that is the big unknown is combat. You know, I think in a PvP game, you know, the reason why, at least why I liked WoW a lot, Star Wars, they were kind of clones of each other, or Star Wars was kind of the clone, was the PvP was just so fluid. It was fun to hit the buttons. It was, the animations were cool. You know, you didn't slow down when you jumped, you know, it was fun to run around and do stuff. And so, I don't know. I think that's a huge deal. And that's probably still the biggest X factor to me to this game. Because sometimes when you look at the character models and the movement, you know, we had a comment on our last video comparing it to Guild Wars 2 a little, Scott, just about there, you know, someone was saying this, it's still just the X factor. It doesn't meet the eye test yet. You know what I mean? You can see that they have a good direction going. The weather looks good. The places, the world looks good, but the combat is just, we haven't seen enough, or what we have seen, it's just like, it could go either way kind of a thing. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the combat so far, Scott?
You want combat to feel good, and I guess that is the X factor. I like the way in that one video we saw the enemies kind of responded to attacks, and when you finish them off, they kind of, the rock guys broke apart. I thought that was a cool effect. But if you feel like you're hitting with a water noodle, it's not going to have that same tactile responsive feeling that you want from it. And yeah, I mean, if the combat is not good, if it doesn't feel good, the rest of the game is essentially moot, right? Like, why engage in any of the PvP, the caravans, everything we've mentioned, if it doesn't feel good? So, yeah, that's going to be huge.
All right, yeah, Scott, kind of to wrap up your point, PvP is integrated into every aspect of this game. So if the combat sucks, you know, the game is going to suck. So hopefully they show us some good stuff. I know that next month, I believe the September live stream, they're going to show off the Ranger class kit. So I'm kind of actually, they haven't showed off much ranged stuff yet. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's all been melee. So I'm kind of excited to see that, especially since that's maybe what I'm leaning towards, going like a Ranger or, you know, caster or bow class or whatever. All right. So I think that's where we're going to wrap it up, guys. Like I said, I know we kind of emphasize this every time. We're kind of rediscovering Ashes, you know, kind of there's so much to learn about this game. So, you know, correct us in the comments. I'm sure we've got a million things wrong, probably. So just help us out, you know, give us the info, point us to the places, videos, wiki, where we need to go. And again, we just want to say a big thank you to James for coming on, and we appreciate it. Scott, why don't you let us know where we can find some of James's content, because I know he's on YouTube around here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you do it, James. We already said earlier, the Governator. And I know you do some voice work, I know you do some streaming, so definitely thank you for coming, and go ahead and give us a little plug about what you do.
Yeah, well, in addition to my main career, I do voice acting for, I'm all over TikTok. My name is Governator, spelled incorrectly, G-O-V-O-U R-N-A-T-O-R. And yeah, just fun voices. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he can just go into it real quick, and then he's like talking to his family on the roof. And then obviously, like, the movie guy voice, in a world, one man. And so, you know, just having fun and everything, and doing this, just having fun with it.
I'm really glad you got to come on, and I hope we can get you on in the future for sure, and eventually get out into this world with you.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely, man. And we'll drop all the info for James in the description so you guys can go check him out. But anyway, man, thank you everyone for joining. Thank you everyone who comes out, comments, likes, and subscribes every week. We're having a blast on this journey, and so we're looking forward to keeping it going. So anyway.
And also,
go ahead.
This video, I mean, if we sat here and went through everything the PvP is offering right now, we'd be here for many hours, so hopefully in the future, Tom, we talked a little bit about, we'll get a video out here on PvP that's a little more in-depth and a place where you don't really have to stare at our faces while we talk about it. So,
yeah, 100%. Keep an eye on the channel. We're bringing out new content all the time. So, anyway, thank you, guys. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
See you.